to the YONation.com podcast, the only podcast dedicated to University of Wyoming athletics.
Welcome to another edition of the YONation podcast. I am your host, Chad Smith, and I'm joined this week by the founder of YONation.com, Brad Reed.
Hello there. How are you? That's funny. I just waved at my own camera, too.
I'm doing fine, sir. And then we're joined again this week by YONation blogger, Connor Cunningham.
Hello, everybody.
All right. So that is the team this week, folks. And we are here to break down the Wyoming season, the football season, because believe it or not, we're already five games in. So we're just one game away from being halfway through. Isn't that crazy to think about?
College football goes too fast.
Goes too fast, that is right. And Wyoming is on a bye week this week, so we thought we would take this time to kind of evaluate where the team is at this point and give kind of a progress report or a report card, if you say, about how we view things. So our two college football Wyoming Cowboy experts are here. I will ask the questions, and they will give you the knowledge that you oh so very much need. Does that sound good, boys?
Woot woot. Sounds like a plan.
All right. The crowd goes wild.
We forgot to mention that we are filming in front of a live studio audience.
Yes, and they're very drunk. It was two for one night in the studios here.
Beer sales, something UW can learn from.
Yes.
Only people.
And I'm glad that you kind of mentioned that, because when we get into things later, I actually have a rant I would like to go on. Anyway, but let's focus on the actual football first. We will not rant. So let's start with the offense. Let me run down some offensive numbers, and then I'll get your guys' thoughts on the offense so far. So heading into our bye week here, five games to the season where the Pokes are 3-2, to where, you know, we basically beat the three teams that we probably all thought we would beat, and we were heavily defeated to the two teams, Oregon and Michigan State, who are both currently ranked in the top 10. But the offense at this point is scoring 16.4 points per game, which ranks 12th in the Mountain West and 121st in the nation. Rushing offense-wise, 137.2 a game. That, again, is 12th last in the Mountain West, 92nd in the nation. Passing offense, a little bit better, 9th in the Mountain West at 201.4 yards a game, which is good enough for 94th in the country. Another stat that is always important, third down conversions, guys. Wyoming's at 40.5%, which ranks 7th in the Mountain West and 72nd in the country. And then probably the most important thing, other than points, for this new style of offense where we're, you know, trying to keep the ball, that's turnovers lost. The Cowboys have committed 9 turnovers, which ranks 8th in the Mountain West and 87th in the country. So there are just the hard numbers, and, you know, the numbers can lie. So I guess we'll start with you, Brad. And you could break this down, you know, rushing offense, passing offense, if you want to at some point. But what would your evaluation or letter grade for the offense be at this point in time?
I wish I was one of those scientists that could make the numbers work in my favor. Unfortunately, I don't know if that's possible in this
You're
case.
Not a climate scientist for the United Nations?
I have tried, and I have been unsuccessful in that career.
Okay.
That's why I end up in IT. So, yeah, man, you know, your offensive numbers do not paint a pretty picture. However, I can take one of your fancy little numbers and make it into a positive, and that is Sean Wick being near the top in the country in rush yards per game. Or total rushing yards, I should say. So, woohoo! So we can take a positive out of that. Overall offensive numbers, the numbers themselves don't really surprise me that much. The passing attack has not been pretty yet. And I think guys like Dominic Rufran would probably be pretty disappointed in their overall receiving numbers so far, especially as a senior trying to get into the NFL. But they really don't surprise me this far. New quarterback, new offense. And this Craig Bowles offense at North Dakota State was never known for its, you know, huge eye-popping numbers. So maybe we've gotten a little spoiled over the last, you know, 5-6 years of the Dave Christensen era where the offensive numbers made our heads explode usually. So, they don't surprise me, but at the same time, you know, maybe this is a nice little, hey, Cowboy fans, this is, you know, what you should expect is grind them out games, you know, we're not going to score a ton of points unless the other team sucks and we ground their defense into the ground. But, yeah, not surprising. Offense, all things considered, C-. I mean, it could be worse. I mean, we could not be running the football at all, and passing would be awful. So there's that.
Okay, Connor.
I'm not necessarily surprised by the stats. Disappointed, though, because I expected a little bit more than our offensive line has been atrocious in the pass block, allowing 22 sacks so far this year. I don't know if, Chad, I don't know if you mentioned anything about the sacks. Where that ranks in the country, but I can't imagine it ranks very well in the conference. 22 is just... Kierkegaard hasn't been stellar, but... And all those sacks might be... Some of those sacks might be on him, but... Gosh, when you're getting sacked 22 times and you're getting hit more than that and hurried a lot, it's tough to make plays, especially when you're not as mobile as we're used to with Brett Smith. I didn't expect him to be stellar. I expected him to limit his dumb mistakes, though, like his fumbles and a couple of interceptions. So that's pretty disappointing. And the rushing attack has been great. Aside from the Air Force game, we've ran the ball tremendously well. Sean Wick has proven that he's a gamer and that he can run the ball against anybody regardless. I mean, he showed it against Oregon and Michigan State. DJ May has been a nice compliment with his speed. He has the breakaway speed. He hit a home run at any time. And the receivers are solid. They're an experienced group. It's just whether or not they have a nice ball thrown to them. And actually, speaking of pass catchers, I think our tight ends have been better than I expected to, especially against Michigan State. They seem to play pretty well, all things considered. So I think I'd be with Brad. I'd give the offense a C. They need to limit their turnovers, and that's mostly from the quarterback position. The offensive line needs to tune it up, and I think the bye week should be a big help to them. Hopefully get healthy and work on some things and see what we can.
Okay, and I have the sack numbers in front of me now. Yes, the 22 sacks allowed ranks dead last in the Mountain West and are 7 more than any other team in the conference, which Fresno State is the next one above us at 15 sacks allowed.
Nationally, that ranks 122nd.
There we go. Yeah, that's pretty ugly. Now, you guys, I think you're being a little too negative here because, remember, these numbers are skewed quite a bit because we played two of the best teams in the country on the road. So
also, just to make a point on what Connor said, we do have to give a shout-out to J.D. Krill, though, because in Dave Christensen's offense, that guy would not be scoring touchdowns. And so far this year, that guy's got 2 already. That's big. So, woo, J.D. Krill.
That's true. And the tight end is a big part of what Bowles offense is all about. So I think you guys are being negative, more negative than I am. That's shocking.
I gave him a C for a team averaging 15 points a game. I mean, a C is pretty good grade.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to be okay this season and in the future, knowing that we're in step one of building this program back up.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So these numbers are ugly. They were a lot worse than I thought they'd be, you know. I was kind of surprised how bad the numbers were offensively. But you can see watching these games that the system does work. And once we have all the pieces to run the system, we're going to be very successful. That's just a question. Can Craig Bowl recruit to the level needed to get the type of athletes into the program that compete in our conference? That's the question. So I guess you guys, I'll let you be positive or negative. Here we go. We're going to put you on the spot. So, Brad, I'll let you – you could either give me your the thing that you've been surprised about the most offensively, or you could tell me what disappointed you the most offensively so far.
Well, I think the thing that surprises me the most is our defense.
Whoa, I'm talking about the offense. This is offensively. Listen to the answer or the question.
I was just talking about things that surprised me, and, you know, it's not like a jack-in-the-box. Apparently. So, offensively, I don't know. I don't know if anything really disappoints me. I guess the passing attack kind of disappoints me because it seems like we have a pretty elite group of wide receivers. I mean, that's been our strength for at least the last 2 or 3 years. We've always had some really – and we are receiver U if you go back to the 80s and 90s. But I don't know. The passing attack really disappoints me. I thought we'd be – well, I don't know. I don't know if we'd be any further along, but, you know, we're kind of working within Colby Kirkegaard's, you know, comfort zone. And even then, he doesn't look all that comfortable sometimes. But I thought the passing attack would be – I thought the wide receivers would help kind of complement Kierkegaard's inexperience. Like, I figured they'd be a bigger help than what they have been. But, you know, he hasn't had a lot of time to, you know, set up in the pocket and get passes off. And when he has, you know, the throws have been kind of weird. But I expect by, you know, maybe after the bye week, midseason, you know, getting kind of late in the conference schedule, you know, maybe they'll start clicking a little more and we'll see a little bit more productivity out of them. And, you know, maybe guys like Rufran and Jalen Claiborne, you know, start getting the ball a little more and get them out into space and let them run. But I guess the thing that I'm really excited about is Sean Wick. Man, that guy is just a load to handle. You know, he runs a lot like Boise's J.A.J. does. I don't even know how to say that guy's name. But he's a load to handle, and like Connor mentioned a little bit ago, you know, he stepped right up against Oregon and ran it down their throat and was on his way to doing that against Michigan State, but we kind of abandoned the rushing attack early on. So I'm really excited for that guy, and, you know, he's still got another year left in this program, maybe two if I remember right. So I think he's going to be a ton of fun to watch this year, and, you know, he's the perfect back for a Craig Bowl offense. He's the guy that will wear a defense down and beat him to death. So those are my thoughts.
Okay, very good. Connor, please enlighten us.
All right. I think the most pleasant surprise has been I guess it wouldn't be necessarily a surprise, but just the fact that Sean Wick and DJ May have been so productive. DJ May, you know, he's averaging 4.7 yards a carry, a couple home runs here and there. And Wick's averaging 6.9 yards a carry. So between those two, we're going to be able to handle games or be in games because of them. I mean, we get the ball and we can sustain drives with them because they're third in manageable situations. So they're definitely the backbone of that offense.
They're weapons in the passing game too.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, DJ May showed that. And against Oregon with those screen passes, so I think those two have been the best part. I also think if the offensive line could just give Kierkegaard some more time, he's shown he can throw a nice deep ball on multiple occasions. He's put it right there in the basket for the receiver. So I don't want to get too negative since Chad kind of got mad at us for that. So.
Grandpa Chad,
I'll leave it at that. I think the offensive line obviously has a lot to do with Kierkegaard's struggles, and I'm not going to beat that to death. Everybody knows what's going on there. So the offensive line's been the most disappointing, that's for sure.
No, yeah. I would agree with that. So we'll see what happens here going
on.
Really,
going into the season, did we have really high expectations of the offensive line?
No, but I didn't think they'd be this poor.
They're opening running lanes, but the passing.
I agree. Yeah, the passing, and which is weird because we're in a passing offense. So, pre-bowl.
Yeah, that's actually kind of funny that you mentioned that too. That, you know, we were constantly in the shotgun for the whole time Dave Christensen was here, and now that we're not in the shotgun, it's like, now we got a pass block.
And I thought they'd be. Since our strength and conditioning coach, everyone seems to praise him. I thought the offensive line, I thought they'd you know, they have, I'm sure, whipped themselves into better shape and gotten there, but I didn't think they would be so at the very, very bottom in sacks given up.
Mm-hmm. Man, that Zach Duvall, he's an intense dude, too.
Mm-hmm. He is.
I don't know if I'd want to lift weights for that guy. I would probably die.
I think I'd have to lift weights because I was scared what he would do to me.
Yeah. Well, you guys definitely would not be war daddies. That's what he calls the people who rip it up.
we'd be war daddy. We'd be
in the weight room.
I don't even have a cool nickname that we would be like something much less than war daddies.
Something with like flowers in it. I don't know. All right, let's jump to the other side of the ball here in defense, and I'll run down the stats so far. The defense is allowing 29.6 points a game. That's 88th in the nation and 9th in the Mountain West. But when you take out the Michigan State and the Oregon game, that falls down to 16 points a game. So that's a big skew there. So just remember that. Rushing yards, 196.4. Still concern. That's a lot of rushing yards to be giving up. That's 7th in the Mountain West, 95th in the nation. A pass defense, we are pretty elite so far this year. And I don't know why. I'm just trying to put a reason to this in my head, and maybe you guys could come up with something. But we rank 2nd in the Mountain West and 31st in the nation, allowing just 206.6 passing yards per game. Third down conversions, the opponent is converting 50.6% of the time. That's 11th in the Mountain West, 121st in the nation. And then turnover-wise, we forced 5 turnovers, which ranks 8th in the Mountain West and 88th nationally. So this time we'll start with Connor. Connor, give us your notes and your progress report on the defense.
I think I'm encouraged by the defense. I think they're gonna assist us in being games here on out. Like you said, 16 points a game versus the other three besides the two top 10 teams we played. So I'm encouraged by the defense. I don't see anything going on that is too concerning outside of the defensive ends, which I'll get into here in a second a little bit more. But I'd be interested in seeing our rushing yards per game, taking out Michigan State and Oregon. I know we were under 200. We were under 200 for the first two games after Air Force, and Air Force ran the ball. I mean, we bottled Air Force's triple option up. Montana's been running the ball well this year, and we held them to 40 yards a game or in the game. So, I think that it's encouraging. I think our defense is making strides. I think they're going to get better as the year goes on. I think that more freshmen, a couple freshmen and younger guys are going to start playing. Concerning, though, the sacks, we've only had 3 sacks. I know we played Marcus Mariota, and not many people can sack him, but there's no reason that we shouldn't have 3 sacks, like more than 3 sacks, with just our 3 wins in those games. Eddie Yarbrough and Sonny Pulitasi were supposed to kind of be the guys this year pressuring the quarterback, and I don't think either of them have a sack. Actually, I know that neither of them have a sack yet, so I'd like to see them get going a little bit. The secondary doesn't have an interception, which is concerning, but I expect that to change against Hawaii and in the future. But I'm encouraged. I mean, they've improved tremendously from last year.
Okay, I have those rushing numbers for you that you asked for. Here's the breakdown. So we gave up 42 yards rushing on 19 attempts to Montana, which was 2.21 per attempt. Then Air Force do 151 yards on 52 attempts, which is 2.9. Mm-hmm. And then the Florida Atlantic game, they got a little higher because they had pretty athletic running back and quarterback running the ball. 39 rushes, 188 yards for 4.82 an attempt. And remember, against Oregon, we gave up 263. And against the steamroller that is Michigan State, 338. So when you take out the outliers, we're still, probably about 150 to 170 yards per game against a normal team.
Right, but the yards per carries, I mean, it We've held two teams under 3 yards per carry, which is an Air Force alone. I mean, that's very promising, I think.
Yes, and I would agree with that. All right, let's turn it over to Brad. What say you, sir?
I don't know. I like the defense better this year. I don't feel like something very, very bad has happened after I get done watching one of these games. So I guess that's good. I think Connor alluded to this a little bit, but, you know, 3 sacks again, you know, a lot of people felt that the defensive line was probably our strength, and maybe even the front seven in general is going to be our strength of the team this year. And, yeah, only 3 sacks out of that group is just so low. It seems like we should be much higher than that. And no interceptions out of the secondary, which I don't know if I'm all that surprised about that, but it would be nice to start seeing that turnover margin kind of come back to zero at the very least.
Right now it's at -4, so not too terrible.
-4 is still a little higher than we would like to see. But
well, I know, but I mind you, the Michigan State and Oregon games is what switched that around, obviously.
Yeah. Man, and that Michigan State offensive line, too. I don't think I've ever seen our defensive line get manhandled the way that Michigan State did it. That was a big group of men just pushing us around. It was just amazing to watch. So I don't know. I really liked the defensive line at the beginning of the season, but I don't know what's going on. I expect a little bit more out of them. But, you know, you guys were crunching some numbers there, and I really like that it seems like on third down we're getting off the field a little more than we were last year, and that's big for us. I wonder if they have that stat on the NCAA site or not. But I like that I like that our third down percentages are
4th of July going on.
Connor's so confused right now.
I don't know what's going on here.
So I think that's a big improvement over last year.
Maybe. It's hard to say. I mean, statistically, I mean, we're giving up over 50%, so that's not very good, obviously.
But again, you know, if you factor out, you know, Oregon and Michigan State, I think our numbers are pretty incredible. It seems like Montana.
Okay, well,
It seems like Montana and Air Force didn't have that much success on third down.
Well, let me look this up for you.
I was going to say, you
got a game log here.
Filtering all sorts of numbers, aren't you?
Oh, well, no. Actually, I use this great website that I use on the blog for all my stats, and everybody should check it out. It's cfbstats.com.
Oh, yeah.
This guy's a statistician, and he throws everything up there. It's crazy. It's a very good site. I'm trying to get the numbers. Oh, I had it, and I didn't recognize what I was looking at. Oh, yeah, this guy blows the NCAA side away. All right. Montana went 6 of 17. That's 35%. Air Force went 10 of 21. That's 47%. And Florida Atlantic went 8 of 18. That's 44%. What killed us was Oregon went 9 of 11. That's 81%. And then Michigan State went 7 of 12, which is 58%. So we're below 50% easily when you take out the two, you know, body bag games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice to see the defense kind of step up a little bit. They're a lot more fun to watch this year. And I don't feel like nauseous after I get done watching a game, you know, a 56-59 shootout or whatever we do. And I do like Connor's shout-out to Hawaii there. If there's ever a time to hit a punching bag, I'm guessing that's probably it.
Yes, and that is our next game. And the week after, on the island.
Yeah, that game kind of makes me nervous. Teams don't play very well on the island usually, even though Hawaii does suck at everything football-related.
That's including Hawaii. They don't play well at the whole island either.
Well, not since June Jones left. Anyway.
Yeah, that's a tough place.
Thankfully,
to play,
June Jones is not going to be there.
I know. Luckily, it's Norm Chow. Everybody likes beating up on an ex-BYU guy.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's just jump. I don't know. I can mention these stats, and you can say what you want. Special teams wise, about the only things that you know stand out to me, we're kind of middle of the road in punting. 41.61 yards a game, or per punt, not a game. That'd be really bad if he was only getting 40 yards per game on punting. Good Lord. 41.7
could be good or bad, depends how you look at it.
Yeah, 41.6 per punt, which is seventh in the Mountain West, and that's Ethan Wood. And, you know, he's a pretty fairly decent punter. I have no problems with him. But the star of the team so far has been Stuart Williams, 4-5 on the season, 80%. That's third in the Mountain West. And I do believe he's been special teams player of the week twice now, right, in the league?
At least once.
I think just once.
Okay, I thought it was twice for some reason.
Just a quick note on Wood, looking at his stats from last year, he's averaging about his career average. He was 42 yards a punt last year, so he's right around where he's been.
Yeah, he doesn't have the big leg, but he's effective in that, you know, that rollout kick, which we really haven't seen too much. I guess he's kind of quasi-rolling out and, you know, kind of doing that side-footed, let-the-ball-roll type of thing that Christensen liked to use, but we haven't seen that used on a regular basis under Bull.
Mm-hmm. I think Bull likes to keep it a little more traditional in the punting game, you know, along with everything else he does.
Yes, no doubt. So, all right, then I guess we could kind of hear talk about this coaching staff, and I guess just kind of give me your guys' evaluation of what you think about the staff so far now that you've got to seeing a handful of games.
I like the coaching staff so far. I mean, it's pretty hard to say anything negative about the staff right now. We're 5 games into the season. We've got a recruiting class under our belt that, you know, we've already seen, you know, one or two of those guys crack the lineup for playing time. So I think they've done a good job I'm not going to say turned around the defense, but they certainly made a lot of improvements. Steve Stannard's done a really good job with that. You know, the offensive coordinator, Brent Vegan, I'm not really sure where he's at yet. I don't know how much of the playbook he's opened up or what he's allowing Kierkegaard to do. But, you know, I'd like to see Vegan work Colby in a little bit more shape and hope he's grooming next year's quarterback, whether it be either the two true freshmen we have redshirting this year or Tom Thornton. You know, hopefully grooming them, getting them ready to play next year.
Don't forget about Kaufman.
Yes, that's what I was going to mention. Kaufman. He's nailed on to be the starter next year, in my mind.
He was a transfer from where?
Indiana.
Indiana, that's right. Boy, they love to throw their football there, too. And like I mentioned earlier, you know, Zach Duvall, he's a very intense dude, so hopefully that works out in the weight room and get these guys a little stronger. But, you know, even during the season recruiting, we're having a lot of success recruiting so far. At this point last year, I don't think we really had a lot of commits to the team, and I think now we're at like 5, 6, 7.
We had like none, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it seemed like that we were very late in the season and maybe got our first one, and I think it was like Austin Fort, who I think was going to be a Cowboy anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point in the season, I think we've got quite a, you know, 7, 8 recruits on board already, which is, you know, light years ahead of where we were last year. So the staff's out there doing work, you know, when they're not in front of a TV camera coaching players. So that's really encouraging too.
It's great to see. All right. Do you have any other comments, Connor?
Yeah, no, I love the staff. It's Cowboy tough football as they've brought back to Wyoming. I think that the state is more on board with Craig Bull's style and his personality. I think that we should start seeing attendance spikes, especially if they can start winning. The defensive side, they're working with the same guys that Christensen had, and we've seen tremendous improvements. Against Christensen, it seemed like every team had a play for 80 yards or more, and the longest pass play they've given up is like 36 yards, and the longest run's like 34 yards. and they've limited the big plays, so that's always nice to see. But on the defense side, or on the offensive side, it'll be interesting. I mean, I like the style. It'll be better once we get more of Craig Bowles' personnel, the types of players he likes to play with. So I know I think the coaching staff, I think we're in great hands. I think that Craig Bowles, his system is proven, and Michigan State's kind of like the golden standard for what our style could be in the future. So I think that it was nice to see something like that, and it kind of made me a little bit more optimistic. So, and as you guys are talking about recruiting classes, we've seen a couple of freshmen this year. You got to remember, Bull was coaching in the mid-January with football or at North Dakota State. So he threw together a recruiting class that was respectable in almost a month's time. So I'm very encouraged. I can't wait for the future, and hopefully we can keep Bull around long enough to turn us into a winner before he maybe leapfrogs for maybe, say, Nebraska.
Or maybe the fat man to Kansas to replace him, right?
Yeah, no, I don't think Bull wants to go to Kansas. Hopefully, fingers crossed.
I think the only job that Bull would leave Wyoming for at this point would be Nebraska.
I agree with that. And hopefully Nebraska can knock off some teams and keep Pelini around.
But that's way in the future, so we don't even have to worry about that.
Yeah.
All right, let me...
And if Bo Pelini got fired, we would all lose the joy of reading the fake Bo Pelini Twitter account, and I would be very depressed if that went away.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like Connor said, the blueprint for this team is basically Michigan State, and holy cow, if we become like a Michigan State-style team in the Mountain West, there's going to be some very surprised teams. You know, we'd be hitting teams like Utah State in the mouth, and that's very rare that Utah State gets hit in the mouth that hard, so... yeah, the Michigan State blueprint is a fun blueprint to think about.
It is.
And even North Dakota State, I mean, their program is light years ahead of anyone else in the FCS. So.
You know, that's kind of funny you mention that, because I got to watch the Montana-North Dakota State game last week, and that North Dakota State team, man, they will beat the tough right out of you. That Montana team came home beat up last week.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if we can get a team, you know, as tough as those Bison are, oof, there's going to be, yeah, that would be bad for Mountain West teams, of course.
Definitely. Now, I don't want to end the show on a sour note, so I just want to get through my little point here. And so I'm trying to use this for positive things, though. All right, so I had the chance to go to the Florida Atlantic game, and game atmosphere-wise, I feel that the university and the athletic department or the PR department, whoever's in charge of setting the schedule during the game, they're still tone deaf. Now, the same problems have been happening since the late 90s. They rely too much on the scoreboard to throw up stupid, you know, little pump-up videos. And then every other minute they're playing some rap song. Like, they're given, like, I kid you not, they had, like, the Steer a Year people out there, and they're like, hey, here's Rancher Johnson. Hey, give him a round of applause. And in the background, they got 50 Cent blaring.
I think we call that the Learfield effect.
Yeah, we're the Wyoming Cowboys. We're country, down-home people. What's the number one song that gets the crowd jumping that they play every game? Cotton Eye Joe. Okay, so stop playing the rap music. Let the band play. This is easy, but you think that you have to appease the younger generation. Well, you know what? The younger generation isn't coming to the games, believe it or not. Playing rap music isn't going to make people come to the game. We are Wyoming. Embrace Wyoming. Embrace this football team. Stop playing the damn rap music. And I love rap music. Plus, we have tons of rap music, but I don't need to hear it at a Wyoming game where people get turned off by it. I'm sorry. This just angers me. Because well, it's the same... It's the same garbage. And everybody, I mean, 90% of the people on the message board agree with me. They're sick of it. So if you work for the athletic department, just listen to us. We want the band to play. We don't want rap music every other play. And we don't want... Anyway, I'm done. That's all.
It's funny you mentioned that, Chad, because Wyoming has actually taken a unique step where they're putting together a board of basically fans to, you know, talk about these kinds of things, you know, how to improve the game day experience, how to improve other aspects of the athletic department. So Wyoming has actually taken a unique step, and I think somebody on the message board pointed out that there's other athletic departments doing the same thing, where they're reaching out to fans, putting together a board, and, you know, asking for opinions. So I don't know if anything will actually come of that. Like, you know, they put a fan board together. Do they actually listen? Who knows? Yet to be seen. But it's cool that they are reaching out like that because, you know, like you said, I think athletic departments can, you know, maybe overthink things once in a while. And, you know, 50 Cent blaring at a football game, it's like, eh. So, yeah, it's cool to see him reaching out like that, and we'll see. But I tend to agree with you on a couple of those points where, you know, they bring up Farmer Joe because Farmer Joe probably gave, like, $500,000 to the athletic department or something. Who knows? But, yeah, the rap music in the background is definitely weird, and I don't know if it's the same in Wyoming. I don't see enough games there to really notice, but I know up here in Montana, like, it's just a constant stream of advertisements just – you know, we might as well be sitting through the first 20 minutes at a movie theater, except it's 3 hours of football, so that's pretty iffy. So it would be nice if, you know, stuff like that was not necessarily eliminated because they got to pay the bills, but make it a little less intrusive.
Yeah, no, I understand the advertisements. I have no problem with that. You have to do that to compete, to make the money in this day and age. It's just, though, what makes college football so great is the band and the atmosphere, and when you are constantly playing crappy, you know, radio pop 40 music on the damn scoreboard, you're taking away from the atmosphere that makes college football uniquely college football. So we'll leave it at that. But on so that, maybe they'll actually listen. Who knows?
They need to get more student section cheers and stuff going, too. They need to get the crowd into it a little bit.
Yeah, the student section is usually the heart of the crowd, and you know, the game I was at in Laramie opening weekend, it didn't seem the student section definitely turned out for it. I mean, that whole lower deck was that whole lower deck was definitely full, but it was like,
they show up. That's never really been the issue. It's just getting them into the game. It's like I don't know, when you're losing to teams, it's hard to cheer, and then I feel like against Montana and Air Force, it was just – or Montana for sure, it was like they were kind of clapping out of relief. Like, we got a first down when they kind of – you know what I mean? Instead of getting super excited for it. Air Force was way more fun. They got way more into it. But they need to get some cheers going, some organized cheers. Because I was at the Montana State game this last weekend in Bozeman, and their student section is better than ours. So there's no question.
Ooh, those are fighting words.
Well,
I mean, it's the truth. Like, they fill it up, and they get loud, and they have cheers, and they sing songs. It's pretty impressive.
We've played subpar football for so long that these students, you know, the past, you know, 8 to 12 years really haven't had much to cheer about. So there's nothing for them to learn, you know, from the prior generation. To go back to a winning generation, you got to go clear back, you know, 20 years. It makes it difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to take some time, but hopefully they can, like Brad said, that fan board or that, you know, board of fans, whatever you want to call it, I think that could be huge. I mean, Chad, you might as well join. I mean, you got some opinions.
I demand to be on that board. No, I'm joking.
Actually, I actually thought about it, and I'm still thinking about it, if I should throw my hat in the ring to try to get on that board.
Why not? I mean,
we beg you.
You could represent Wyo Nation, take ideas from there, and forward them on. I don't see why. That'd be great.
If I took ideas off the message board, the only idea that would come is be like, fire everyone.
You don't have to take every idea.
Atmosphere-wise. The board has made very good points. Anyway, let's get away from the negativity, and let's get to some projecting into the future here.
All right.
So I will ask...
And we do have a fun-filled weekend of Mountain West football coming up.
Yes, I will ask you, Brad, with Wyoming 3-2 at our bye week, give me just a simple yes or no with some reasoning. Will Wyoming get to that magic 6-win mark and be bowl eligible?
Yes. And here's why. We play Hawaii, we play San Jose State, and we play New Mexico. I mean, we are beating on the Little Sisters of the Poor. We might be the Little Sisters of the Poor, too, but they're even poorer than we are. So, yes.
Okay. Very
Plus,
good.
Did you guys see what Air Force did to Boise last weekend?
I was going to be my point. I mean,
no,
under Craig Bull's under Craig Bull's system, I mean, Air Force dominated Boise State. And
I think Grant Hedrick's going to lose his job there, too.
Yeah, I mean, four interceptions, that was. But no, I think that if we could beat anyone on the schedule, I mean, we have Hawaii, San Jose, and New Mexico. San Jose State and New Mexico, we should be the favorites in all those. And then Fresno has not been good at all this year. Boise just lost to Air Force, so that shows that they're very beatable. And we have Boise State at home. And then, unfortunately, CSU might be our toughest opponent. Boise and CSU, but I mean, on it, we could win any game. The way bowl system works, if we control the clock, limit our turnovers, cause some turnovers, and we're going to be right there. I think we'll be eligible. I wouldn't be surprised if we went 7-5.
And, you know, just looking at Utah State, I mean, nobody knows what's going to happen to Chucky Keaton yet. You know, they're talking, he might play this weekend or he might be out for the season. We don't really know yet. So the health of Chucky Keaton is going to be pretty dependent on Utah State's success, too.
True.
It's all right there for the taking, for the good guys.
This is probably as open as we've seen the Mountain West in a very long time.
Yep, and it's a good year that it's open because we're down a little bit. But, hey, I think that it's right there. I would be very disappointed if we weren't bowl eligible.
Yeah. And, you know, that's kind
of definitely there for the taking.
That's parallel to Christensen's first season, too, where he came in, got a couple of wins that we didn't really expect, and boom, bowl eligible playing in New Mexico.
Yep. It should be an exciting home stretch, that's for sure.
Definitely the case. So, I think that is the end of our agenda for this night, fellas. So, thank you for your time. And we should thank everybody who is listening to this right now.
I know you guys missed us the last couple weeks, so we're back, and hopefully you guys gleaned some knowledge out of this with our stat dropping.
So please, yeah, let us know. Give us your feedback, negative, positive, and in between.
Or if Chad's being too negative.
Unless you're in the athletic department, I don't want to hear any defending of rap music being played over and over. Don't send that to me because I won't read it.
You're going to disguise it as spam mail and you'll accidentally read it.
Yeah. So, all right, folks. Well, thank you. This is the WoW Nation podcast. We will see you next time.
Cheers.